Our text for this evening in the 22nd chapter of Luke's Gospel is found in verse 32. The words of the Lord Jesus to Simon Peter, after he had warned him that Satan desired to have him that he might sift him as wheat. Then we have these wonderful words, "But I have prayed for thee." But I have prayed for thee. There can be no real mystery surrounding the reason why Satan desired to have Simon Peter, that he might sift him as wheat. There is no real mystery surrounding the reason why Satan singled out Simon Peter for special attention. After all, he was the one disciple who was ready to accept any fresh challenge that would come his way. We see that when he said to the Master, as he saw the Lord walking upon the sea, he said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Here was a fresh challenge for Simon Peter. Simon Peter was ready to take up that challenge. This merely teaches us that Satan will target that disciple of the Lord who is willing to attempt great things for God. Satan will never target that believer who sits back and attempts nothing for God, but rather he will seek to sift that saint as wheat, who indeed will attempt great things for the Lord. So it's not surprising then that Satan targeted Simon Peter, targeted him for special attention and wanted to sift him as wheat. What happens when wheat is sifted? It is tossed to and fro. This was the intention of Simon Peter. Or rather, Satan, his intention was to toss Simon Peter to and fro. Consider something else. Simon Peter was also one who had a zeal for the Lord and the things of God, but a zeal that at times was not according to knowledge. Remember what he said while he was with the Lord and his fellow disciples in the Mount of Transfiguration. When he saw the Lord transfigured before him, Peter was greatly blessed with what he had seen that night on that mount. But then he said this. He said, "Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." Then we have these words, "not knowing what he said." Simon Peter didn't fully realize what he had said. It was not possible to make three tabernacles, one for the Lord, one for Moses, one for Elias. Here was a zeal, but it was a zeal that was not according to knowledge. And dear child of God, where you have a believer that is filled with zeal, but a zeal that is not according to knowledge, you can be sure that the devil will target that Christian. The devil will target that child of God. The devil will seek to shake the faith of that believer every time Perhaps you have already witnessed that very truth. A child of God expresses great zeal and he wants to do this and he wants to do that and he wants to do this other thing. But you know that what he wants to do is not according to knowledge. He hasn't sought the face of God in the matter. He hasn't sat down and counted the cost. He hasn't weighed the consequences of his actions. He has a zeal. And he's to be commended for that. But then there's something lacking. It's a zeal that's not according to knowledge. And where you have a child of God that does not have a knowledge of the Lord's will for his life, he does not have a knowledge of God's will regarding something that he's going to attempt for the Lord, you can be sure the devil will target that individual. And there's been many a child of God and they've made shipwreck of their lives because of that very thing. They have a knowledge, they have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. And the devil has simply led them astray. They become discouraged. Many a child of God has gone back into the world. Maybe today they're nowhere with God. And it has been because of a lack of knowledge. Does this not emphasize the great necessity to have a knowledge of God and a knowledge of His will and a knowledge of His Word? Because if we're not grounded in the Word, if we're not grounded in the truth, if we're not fixed in the Word of God, the devil will want to sift us as wheat. The devil will want to lead us astray. I believe another reason why Simon Peter was singled out by Satan, I believe it was because he was one of the inner circle of the Lord's disciples. Remember Simon Peter, along with James and John, had experienced and had been granted special privileges that the other disciples were denied. They were on the inner circle. They perhaps live nearer to the Lord than the others. They were with the Lord in the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw something that day that the other disciples did not see. They were with the Lord in the house, in the home of Jairus. Peter, James, and John saw things that day in that house that the others were not permitted to see. Peter, James, and John were the three disciples who were brought a little farther into the Garden of Gethsemane. They were brought a little further than the other disciples. And here we have a man, Simon Peter, who was there in the inner circle of the Lord's disciples. And Simon Peter is the one that was singled out by the devil. Now we may tend to think, I used to think this before the Lord saved me. I used to think that Christian, that believer who lived close to the Lord would be one who would never come under temptation, would never be attacked by the devil. And that is not true. John Knox, great reformer, when he sat in his study, studied the Word, Knox was so conscious of the devil there attacking him, resisting him, seeking to hamper him. On one occasion, Knox lifted up a book that was on his table and he threw it at the devil. He was so aware of the attacks of the devil. John Knox was a man who lived near the Lord. John Knox was a man who spent many hours at the throne of grace. John Knox was mightily used of God in the Reformation in Scotland. John Knox knew that the devil had singled him out for special attention. I believe that was one of the reasons why the devil singled out Simon Peter. He was a man who had enjoyed great privileges by the man of God or the woman of God who seeks to live a holy life and live for God and live near to the Lord. That child of God, that dear saint, will be singled out again and again and again by the devil, to be attacked by the devil, to be hindered by the devil, to be humbled by the devil in their progress in their Christian life. So, dear Christian, when we come under the attacks of the evil one, when the lion roars against us, when he who goeth about seeking whom he may devour attacks you and I, we need not be surprised, for he attacks Simon Peter, one of the Lord's inner circle, of his disciples. Now the Lord Jesus speaks to Simon, and he says to Simon, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, even though Satan will attack God's people, I believe that this revelation that came from the lips of the Lord Jesus came as somewhat of a shock to Simon Peter. I believe it surprised him. So the Lord told Simon Peter that Satan desired to have him. I don't believe Peter realized that. Because when the Lord revealed this to Simon Peter, we discovered in verse 33 that Simon says, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and into death." It was as if he didn't even hear what the Lord had said. It's as if he didn't take it under his notice. It's as if he didn't really realize the importance of the words the Lord had spoken to him. So it came as somewhat of a surprise. But when the Lord told Simon Peter that Satan desired to have him that he might sift him as wheat, the Lord then added these words, "But, Simon, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." The servant of the Lord was coming under the attack of the devil, but there was one who had been interceding on his behalf. Dear child of God, we can take great comfort and encouragement from these words. For whatever scheme the old serpent has in mind for you or for me, rest assured, there is one in the glory who is praying for you, who is praying for me, one who is interceding on our behalf, and we know exactly what he's praying for. He's praying that your faith and my faith will not fail. So let us now consider these words. But I have prayed for thee. Let us consider first of all the Lord's insight. In those hours which preceded the crucifixion, it appears that Satan was busy. He's always busy, we know that. Perhaps at that time he was busier than usual. He had already stirred up the Jews against the Son of God. He had already entered into Judas Iscariot, who would now do his bidding. Look there at the verses 3 to 6 in chapter 22 of Luke. Verse 3, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. He went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. They were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised, and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. No sooner had Satan entered into Judas Iscariot than we read, he went his way. The devil was busy. And now, not only has he stirred up the Jews, not only has he entered into Judas Iscariot, now he desires to have one of the Lord's choice disciples. Because whatever people think about Simon Peter, whatever they've said about him, however they've criticized him, Simon Peter was the one of the Lord's choice disciples. And Satan now focuses his attention upon this choice disciple, and the Lord reveals to Simon Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Here's his pronouncement. These words, as we have already said, must have come as a great surprise to Simon Peter. For there is no indication at all. There is no indication at all that Simon Peter knew anything about the desire of Satan. In fact, prior to this pronouncement, the Lord Jesus had to deal with his disciples because they were arguing amongst themselves who of them would be the greatest. My, what frivolous things they gave their attention to. How they were wasting their time dealing with this foolish nonsense as to which of them would be the greatest. And they were arguing and debating this matter under the very shadow of Calvary. Their master would soon be taken from them and nailed to that tree. And all they could think about was who would be the greatest amongst them. Then the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Peter didn't know anything about it. Peter was ignorant of the plan and the purpose of the devil. He was ignorant of the scheming of Satan. But the Lord wasn't ignorant of what Satan was up to. So how did the Lord know? Is he privy to all that Satan does? Is he privy to every plan and every purpose and every scheme of the evil one? Yes, he most assuredly is. This proves it. If ever we needed proof that the death of the Lord Jesus is privy to all that the devil does. Here's proof of it. Simon Peter didn't know a thing about it, but the Lord knew all about it. Nothing is hidden from His gaze. He is aware of what takes place in heaven. He's aware of what takes place on earth. And He's aware of what takes place in the underworld. He's aware of what takes place in His kingdom, and He's aware of what takes place in the kingdom of darkness. My, it's good to have the Lord on our side. Nothing takes Him by surprise. Nothing. He knows what goes on in the kingdom of the devil, and He knows what goes on in the heart of this people. He's told us that in His own words. Psalm 44, verse 21, the psalmist says, He knoweth the secrets of the heart. He knoweth. He knew all about what was going on in Simon Peter's heart. He also knew what was going on in the devil's kingdom. You remember when He told the parable of the sower to His disciples, and how the sower went out to sow the good seed of the gospel. And then later He interpreted the parable of the sower to His disciples. And He said this, He said, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but that when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. See? Lord knew all about the ways of Satan. And He revealed His ways to the disciples. Oh, the hearer may sit in church. The hearer may sit under the sound of the word and be completely ignorant of the ways of Satan even as the word is being preached. He's unaware of the fact that when he leaves the meeting, he forgets all about the word that has been preached. He's unaware that Satan has come and stolen away the word. He doesn't know what the devil's up to. But the Lord knows all about it. The Lord revealed the ways of Satan unto His disciples, just as He revealed the ways of Satan unto Simon Peter. For He who is omnipotent and He who is omnipresent, bless God, He is also omniscient. He knows all things. Believer, while we are unaware of the activities of Satan concerning ourselves, concerning you and concerning me, we rejoice that we're under the care of one who knows all about the activities of the devil. Knows all about the ways of the evil one. Satan may deceive you and he may deceive me, and he will, and he has done it before by his cunning and his craft. But he'll never deceive God. Never. He's the one who's praying for us. And He's the one who's interceding for us. And He's the one who is in control of all things. Hallelujah. My, it's good to have such a Savior as the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have prayed for thee. The pronouncement. And in this pronouncement, in the words of the Lord Jesus, we have the plan. Now we as God's people, we know Satan is our enemy. We battle every day with the world, with the flesh, with the devil. We know that. The devil comes with his temptations every day. He sets the snare for us. He seeks to trip us up. He seeks to get us down. But here the Lord reveals to Simon Peter the exact plan that Satan had for him. And what was that plan? Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you. I know what he's at. I know what the devil's about. I know what Satan's plan is for you, Simon. I know all about it. You don't know, but I'm telling you now, he desires to have you that he might sift you as wheat. He knew every detail of that plan, and the Lord Jesus countered with a plan of his own. I have prayed for thee. That was the Lord's plan. Let's remember something here. Let's remember that Satan had already tried to use Peter against the Lord. But he had failed. In Mark chapter 8, there in verse 32, we read, and he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him, that is the Lord Jesus, and began to rebuke him. And when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, the things that be of men. You see, Satan again had a plan for Peter. We can hardly believe our ears when we hear those words. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. The Lord turned to the disciples, and then we read that the Lord Jesus rebuked Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, Satan makes another attempt. Here in Mark chapter 8, Satan attempted to use Simon. But in Luke chapter 22, Satan desired to abuse Simon Peter. He wanted to abuse him. He wanted to sift him as wheat. That was the plan. And the Lord revealed it to Simon Peter, and dear child of God, we need to make that our prayer. Lord, reveal to me the devil's plan. I need to know how the devil seeks to trip me up, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:11. We need to be aware of the craftiness of the devil. In other words, we need to know our enemy. And only the Lord can give us knowledge of our enemy. Only the Lord can reveal to us what the devil is about. Comes along with his temptations, but we don't even recognize them as temptations. He comes along with his harmless and innocent activities. And on the surface they appear harmless, and on the surface they appear innocent, but there's a hook hidden there. Like the fisherman, he hides the hook in the bait.
And the devil is a past master at hiding the hook in the bait. As the Lord Jesus, as the God of heaven, has a plan for us, you can be sure the devil also has a plan. And the Lord revealed it to Simon. Then we have here, thirdly, the plea. The pronouncement, the plan, and the plea. Note the words. The Lord said to his disciples, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. The word desired does not reveal the whole story. Because the word the Lord used there, that word desired, is not found anywhere else in the New Testament. But here alone. And the words the Lord spoke to Simon Peter. And the word desired means to ask excessively. To ask excessively. And so here we have the picture then of Satan coming before the Lord and asking, pleading for Simon Peter that he might have him. Isn't that what the Lord said? Satan hath desired. Satan hath been pleading that he might have you. That he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Dear child of God, this shows us a number of things. It brings before us again the sovereignty of our God. That Satan cannot do a thing to a Christian. Unless the Lord gives him permission. And here Satan came before the Lord and he asked excessively. He went, as it were, overboard in his asking, that he might get his hands on Simon Peter. The Lord said, I have prayed for thee. It shows us also that Satan must come regularly before the Lord, seeking the downfall of the Lord's people. Why is this not a familiar activity of the devil? Does this not remind us of what we read in the first and second chapters of the book of Job? Because there we read the same thing, the same activity that Satan involved himself in, engaged in regarding Simon Peter. He was involved in the same activity concerning God's servant Job. There in Job 1, verse 9, we read, Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, he will curse thee to thy face. And that's what Satan wanted. And the Lord pulled back a little more of the hedge. And he allowed Satan to take all Job's possessions and his children. And then he came before him again in chapter 2. Again he comes before the Lord. You see, he's at it all the time. And here he's at it again with regard to Simon Peter. asking with great excessiveness, asking for the downfall of Simon. You know, that begs the question. And many times has Satan come before the Lord and pleaded with the Lord for us. And many times has Satan come before the Lord and asked excessively that he might have us, that he might lay his hands upon you and me. He might take us and sift us as wheat. But mark this. If Satan was praying against Simon Peter, Jesus Christ was praying for Simon Peter. Dear child of God, when Satan prays against us, be sure of this, the Lord Jesus is praying for us. What a comfort it is to know. Many battles have been fought and won through prayer. And this battle was fought. And this battle was won through prayer. The praying of our great intercessor. The praying of our great mediator. The praying of our kinsman redeemer. And as he prayed for Job and prayed for Peter, hallelujah, he's praying for us. Give the Lord's insight. You know all about the ways of the devil, then you have the Lord's intercession. After revealing to Simon the plan of Satan, the Lord then spoke these wonderful words, "But I have prayed for thee." What do these words reveal? The words reveal to us the affection the Lord had for Peter. Upon knowing what the intentions of Satan were, the Lord Jesus began praying for his servant. His heart naturally went out to his servant in need. His servant who would soon be sifted as wheat. His servant who would soon experience something that he had never experienced before. And the Lord Jesus began praying for Simon Peter. Dear child of God, the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when Simon Peter came under the attack, of the planned attack of Satan, and the Lord began praying for Simon, then when Satan plans an attack on you and me, when he plans an attack upon our church, when he plans an attack upon God's people, the Lord's heart goes out to his people. And the Lord begins to pray. For Hebrews 4, in verse 15, we're told there about the great high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities and was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, he knows. He knows all about us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, ever liveth to make intercession for us. And let us also remember, the Lord told Peter that he had prayed for him, even though the Lord knew that Peter was about to deny him. Hasn't he just said that? Hasn't he just informed Simon Peter, when Simon Peter was full of self-confidence, when he told the Lord, I am ready to go with thee unto both into prison and to death, the Lord informed Simon Peter, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. The Lord Jesus told Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee that he might sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, even though I know that this very night you will fail me, even though I know this very night you will deny me, and you'll deny me three times, you will deny even knowing. Nevertheless, Simon, I have still prayed for you. What wonderful grace. What wonderful love. And of the Lord Jesus told Simon Peter that he would pray for him and had prayed for him, even though he knew he would deny him. Then, dear believer, we can rest assured that even though we have failed the Lord, and in spite of our faults and our failings and our fallings, the Lord will still pray for us. You remember when Israel, the elders of Israel, came before Samuel and said, Samuel, we no longer want you to be our ruler and our judge. Samuel, we want a king to rule over us like the other nations. Samuel was hurt. And he took his burden to the Lord. And the Lord told Samuel, Samuel, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. And then later on, those same elders came to Samuel. And they said, Samuel, pray for us. Remember what Samuel said? Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Even though they had rejected Samuel, he continued to pray. And even though Peter denied the Lord, he continued to pray. And even though we fail the Lord, he continues to pray. He continues to bring our name before his Father's face. How can we comprehend such love? It is beyond our ken. I have prayed for thee. You have the Lord's answer for Peter. The Lord's affection for Peter and the Lord's answer. The Lord was aware of Satan's plan for Peter. As a result, the Lord said, but I have prayed for thee. As far as the Lord was concerned, prayer was the answer. Now we can take a leaf out of the Lord's book, can't we? For here the Lord teaches us the great lesson that the answer to our times of need and times of distress They answered his prayer. The answer to those times when Satan comes against us and he shoots his fiery darts at us, what is the answer? The answer is prayer. The Lord Jesus told Simon Peter, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed. I want you to notice something else. When the Lord revealed Satan's plan to Simon, the Lord did not pray that Simon Peter would be delivered from that hour. He didn't tell Simon Peter, Simon, I have prayed that you will never be sifted. He didn't tell Simon, I have prayed that Satan will not sift you as wheat. No, he allowed the sifting to take place. It is not always the Lord's will then that he will deliver us from being sifted as wheat. It's not always the Lord's will that we will be spared the attacks of the devil. Remember, he's in control. Remember, he has the master plan. And believe it or not, it was to Simon Peter's advantage that he be sifted as wheat. So what did the Lord pray for? He prayed that during that time of sifting and shaking, prayed that Simon's faith would not fail. That's what he prayed for. You remember in the Lord's great high priestly prayer, in John 17, verse 15, the Lord there said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. The Lord told the disciples all that they would suffer in the world and because of the world. And here he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's what the Lord prayed about. That the Father in heaven would keep them from the evil that they would fear. Was to Peter's advantage that he was to be sifted. So, believer, when Satan is sifting us, just remember, the Lord has already been praying for us. Because he told Simon Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed. I have already prayed. I have been in prayer for you. He had been praying in private because he revealed to Simon Peter that he had been praying for him. Simon didn't know it. Maybe in a field somewhere. When he rose up a great while before day, he went out to pray for Simon Peter. Even though Simon didn't know it. Dear believer, when we are not aware and we're not conscious of the Lord's intercessionary work, the Lord is still praying on our behalf. It was personal, for the Lord said, Simon, I have prayed for thee. I'm praying for you personally. This would teach us that the Lord's heart goes out to those individuals who are the target of the devil's attacks. I have prayed for thee. And whenever the devil singles us out for attack, remember this, the Lord is praying for us personally. Our names are upon his breastplate. Our names are engraved in the palms of his hands. He's praying for us personally. And particularly, for we read, Simon, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. That's what the devil was seeking to destroy, Simon Peter's faith. But the Lord says, I am praying that your faith fail not. Isn't it good to know? Whatever area the devil launches his attack against us, that's the area that Christ is praying about. Particular. Give the Lord's advantage for Simon Peter. Remember, the Lord had already prayed for Simon before the event. Before the battle was Satan, before Simon was sifted as wheat, the Lord had already prayed. Peter was already at an advantage. He wasn't at a disadvantage. Why? Because Simon Peter went into that battle with the backing of Christ. Christ praying for Simon Peter. I have prayed for thee. When we go into battle against the devil, against the evil one, we're not at a disadvantage. We have the advantage of the prayers of Christ. And then lastly, give the Lord's influence. The Lord's influence. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now the Lord brought Simon through this battle with the devil. But I want you to notice something. It wasn't Simon's faith that gave him the victory. I hear people say, and they're well-meaning and they are sincere. And when a great trial comes, they say, well, I had my faith and my faith brought me through. Well, I wonder what would have happened to Simon Peter if Simon Peter had nothing else but his faith. Simon Peter had the Lord Jesus Christ praying for Simon's faith, that Simon's faith would fail not. And believer, that's why our faith does not fail in times of trial. It's because Christ is praying on our behalf. And when trials come, let us give the glory to the Lord. Let us say to one and all, the Lord brought me through. The Lord strengthened me. The Lord strengthened my faith, if you will. But let's give the Lord the glory. He influenced the battle because of his prayers for Peter and his preservation of Peter, because he said to Simon Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted. When? Not if. Yes, Simon Peter had backslid after that event. He'd gone back to fishing. Then the Lord appeared to him and invited him to come and dine, and Simon Peter was restored. His faith did not fail. Oh, it was very weak, but it didn't fail. you have then the promise to Peter? For the Lord said to Simon Peter, when thou art converted, when thou art restored, strengthen thy brethren. In other words, Simon Peter, you go out and tell your experience. You'll be able to go and strengthen your brethren speaking from experience. You'll be able to tell your brethren, my Savior prayed for me when Satan sought to sift me as wheat. And when we come through trials, we're able to comfort and encourage others because we can speak from experience. And we can say, when my faith was at a very low ebb, my Lord prayed for me that my faith would not fail. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening. Let us pray. Our most loving God and gracious Father, we give Thee thanks again for our wonderful Redeemer, for our wonderful Lord, for the One who ever liveth to make intercession for us, our Redeemer who is pleading in glory. Though our friends be few, we know that He's watching over us. And when Satan plans an attack, we rejoice that the Savior is already in prayer. Lord, bless the word to our hearts tonight. May it be a source of encouragement in the days that lie ahead and even this present day. Now, Lord, be with us as we leave the house of God tonight. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless our brother Marshall as he travels to Kingston. And our sister Morag, Lord, as she makes her way down to Toronto. And gracious Lord, be with each one of us. As we don't have just as far to go, but nevertheless, go before us. Keep Thy hand upon us, Lord, until we meet again. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.